కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ శరకాన లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీన బంధో పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే సప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి కృష్ణానుసే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే కృపా సింధూర్యదేవ పతితానాం పావనిభ్యో వైష్ణవిభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసవి గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే
సో వి వుడ్ లైక్ టు విష్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ అ వెరీ హ్యాపీ దీపావళి ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ లుక్ వెరీ సీరియస్ ప్లీజ్ పుట్ ఆన్ ది జ్యువెల్ ఆఫ్ ది సేజ్ ఇట్స్ కాల్డ్ స్మైల్ Welcome to today's discussion on Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is chapter 12 verse number 15 on the subject of devotional service. It's a very important subject, in fact the important subject matter. We would like to take an overview with all of you on the chapter 12 as it is before touching on the subject at hand. In the chapter 11, Krishna declared that only by devotional service can one understand him. To take us beyond any shadow of doubt, Krishna says, right? Nasamsayaha. So Arjuna now asks Krishna for the final word. Which is the best? Devotional service to the Lord or the worship of the impersonal Brahman? Krishna presents single-minded devotion as the highest engagement, bringing these six chapters on devotion to a close. Right? Now, we will divide this 12th chapter, Bhakti over impersonalism, working from text 1 to text 7. Worship of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is recommended as best. Krishna promises that he will quickly deliver his pure devotee. Even though the impersonalist may one day attain Krishna, their path is unnatural and troublesome. The processes or the progressive stages of devotion will be from text 8 to text 12. Now this will go from the highest to the lesser practices. Right? Mind fixed on Krishna, the practice of fixing the mind on Krishna, working for Krishna, offering the results of work to Krishna, and meditation of the cultivation of knowledge. The qualities that endear the devotees to Krishna will be discussed from 13th to 20th text. Krishna speaks on the various qualities that endear the devotee to him. He concludes saying that those who follow the path or devotional path, making him the supreme goal of life, are especially dear to him. That is the last text. So the conclusion of the chapter will be the practice of single-minded devotion to Sri Krishna, the Supreme Person, stands supreme above all other paths, which is the conclusion of this chapter. So in this verse, we go on to this verse, as Prabhupada has expounded in the purport. Further qualities that endear the devotees to the Lord are emphasized. Devotees are naturally saintly. I get a lot of confirmation today. And very merciful. As such, there is no question of any living entities being put in difficulties by them. In fact, we have read so many different scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the others. Devotees will never give any problem, right? It is the other one, the one starting it around. Okay. Sometimes you might be engaged, right? Sometimes a devotee might call you and say, "Hey Prabhu, please come," or "Hey Mata, come." And then they might give you some service. And then what happens? Immediately there is some anxiety, right? Some worry as to how to perform this seva. Now this kind of worry is most welcome. Right? This is not an anxiety. So devotees don't put through you normal anxiety. They give you transcendental anxiety, whereby you can actually meet up with the standard of devotional service. Up yourself. Alright? It is called false promotion. So, we are actually yet to hear if someone has got a heart attack or ailment when they are engaged in this sort of anxiety. It is not. So, it is a very sweet anxiety. The real anxiety is not actually given by the devotees. It is given by three different personalities. Right? Adiyatmi, by your own mind. Adibodhi, by other living entities, like mosquitoes, or something else. And then Adidevi, improper performance of sacrifices. So too much water, too much rain, too much wind, and all that, earthquake and everything else. And then each one has one name, Katrina, you know, and God knows what. So the fact is, they are even able to give names for anxieties. So, this is the kind of anxiety that one will have to go through, one who is embodied in Sarira. One who has embodied inside, and case inside, he has to go through these three different types of anxiety. The thing, one should wholeheartedly surrender to the supreme will of the Lord. Only then the sweetest qualities which attract the supreme Lord will manifest upon oneself. So, when we are talking about this verse, Krishna says, "It's very dear to me. It's very dear to me. It's very dear to me." If you go on to the text, right, and the translation. So, what makes you, or what makes the person, the devotee, very dear to him? The wholehearted surrender, atmanivedanam, the sincere wholehearted surrender. Then only then, all these other qualities, which are subsidiaries, will automatically manifest in the person's heart, and it will be exhibited. The sublime qualities of the devotees are listed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they are total 26. Right? So just let's see what are the qualities that will make you dear to Krishna. Kind to everyone, first and foremost. The devotee is merciful because he is the well-wisher friend of all living entities. He is not only favorably inclined to the human society, but also to plants and animals. He treats all living entities in such a way that they can ultimately become free from material bondage and go back home, back to Godhead. It's possible, right? Even plants and animals. Of course, you can give them prasadam. And for plants, you can give them charanamrita. And then you will actually mitigate the anxiety being in that form. Humble, does not quarrel with anyone. I think this probably is a clause, except for Mataji's quarreling in the market. Right? To be humble means that one is not hankering to be worshipped by others. Humility should not be artificial, but honest, deep and natural. It will develop when the conditioned soul admits its wrong attitude towards Krishna and prays to him for forgiveness and to be allowed to be always engaged in his devotional service. So, one has to develop this quality of humility, this humbleness, and it cannot be artificial. It must be, you know, what they do to the regular, they put a stake and they nail it inside the heart. So this is what we have to do. We have to nail it, this humility, right inside the heart, right inside our mind, and tell ourselves, first and foremost, if there's a qualification list, we are disqualified. Our name is not there. That is how we should take it. And when we see devotees, we should take it that everyone is our guru, and we are the ignorant fool. And we must have it in our mind as a fact. Then humility will start developing, right? Truthful. Fix in the absolute truth. The primary truthfulness for a disciple is to keep his vow of following the regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds of japa every day. Now, this is something new for disciples, right? For others, also a devotee should not perform any illegal activities, and he should always act in Krishna's interest and not in his own, in order to remain fixed in the absolute truth. So whatever we are engaged in, it must be done as a service to the devotee, or as service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or service to Guru. So that's how truthfulness is. So at the same time, also maintaining one's spiritual etiquette. Equal to everyone. A devotee sees the soul and the super soul in everyone's heart and treats every living entity according to its position, and in a way that is most beneficial for its spiritual progress. So whenever we associate with devotees who are just coming into Krishna consciousness, then we give them our association, right? When we see our contemporaries, then we have like-minded association. And then when we see our superiors, then we try to serve them and try to take association. That way we make progress. Both ways, like that. And it is utmost important that we should not think that, oh, so this person is just new, so let me be the guru. It doesn't work like that. It shouldn't take an instructive role in a friendly way. That's most welcome. Faultless. Now, how can a devotee be faultless? It's kind of difficult, isn't it? Anyway, a devotee who is in words, deeds and mind is always surrendered to Krishna, and who executes Krishna's desire to the best of his ability is considered to be faultless. So sincerity again, is very, what we call predominant here. Charitable. A devotee is charitable because he knows that love for Krishna is the best, and he distributes it without selfish motive. His charity has no limits, just like the happiness someone experiences who caught the gift of Krishna consciousness. When we first come into Krishna consciousness, that feeling, right? It is very sublime. Then of course, as the time goes on, the devotee or the living entity becomes complacent, and then that feeling just slowly erodes away, and then you feel a bit bored. Why? Because the enthusiasm has burned down. That's why we should not be in the four categories of people who are surrendering to Krishna. One who wants something, one who is in need of something, one who has some anxiety, one who is in knowledge, and one who is, There's one more category. So we should be understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am totally the useless head, and we should surrender in that way. So when we do that, then it all falls in place, and that will continue day after day. So it will not erode away, and then one day you find yourself, I'm somebody, I am, so many years here, and this sort of ahankar sets into the mind, and that is very bad. Mile. A devotee avoids illusory, materialistic happiness, and thus is spared from the suffering which is bound to it. He always remains peaceful because he is satisfied within Krishna consciousness. So, do we need to be engaging in some materialistic happiness when we are already engaged in transcendental happiness? Do we need to do that? We don't need to, alright? It is not like, that means one leg on this side of the fence and one leg on that side of the fence. Now, I don't know how we're going to do this, but it's a very precarious situation. So in that sense, it is totally wrong. When someone surrenders, then he should tell himself, I'm just going to take that feet out from there, from that mud, from that dirt, and from that quicksand, and I'm going to lift myself up, and I'm going to serve Krishna. That's most important. Cleanliness is next to godliness, purity. Krishna consciousness is meant for purifying the world in a revolutionary way by hygienic external principles, as well as by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which purifies the heart. Actually, you can see as we go along that we have practiced cleanliness even before we came to Krishna consciousness, right? I'm sure all of us were using that all before we came to Krishna consciousness. Were we very pure? No, because we couldn't drink it. I'm not encouraging you to buy that all and drink it, but the thing is, the fact is, the heart still remained impure. There were so many things which were not straightened out. There was enviousness, jealousy, lust, and you name it, you got it. All from the bad book. From the bad book and the pages of the bad book. So, as we go on progressing in Krishna consciousness, by chanting only, Cheto Darpana Majanam, then all these dust, all these impurities get cleaned away from the heart, and the heart begins to become a pure receptacle to receive the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So, that is very important. So that is cleanliness. Simple. Without material possession, go home and sell your HDB flat. No, I'm not saying that. The highest realization is to seek everything as Krishna's property. The sincere devotee is not only satisfied to see everything as Krishna's property, but also to engage everything in a proper way in Krishna's service. So, Krishna says, Bhukta Ram Yatna Tapasam Sarvaloha Maheshwaram, that I am the proprietor of everything that can be. So we must understand, our POSB bank balance, our DBS bank balance is nothing. Mahalakshmi is sitting there massaging his feet. So, you can imagine your bank balance there. So, in that sense, we actually don't possess anything. We don't possess what? We don't possess time. Right? We don't possess energy. We don't possess elements that put together this framework. Right? This bag of bones. We don't possess anything. We are actually borrowed. We are actually doing rental. Correct? We are in the rental market. We are renting air. We are renting energy. We are renting food. We are renting time. Everything is rental, but we don't pay. And there is no ping notice. As we say as that. We don't get a 50 cent ping notice. But Krishna just tolerates. And then he's waiting when he will come back. Using this receptacle bag. So in that sense, we have no possessions. Even when they put us in the most honest box, when they send us off, when they send the body off, it doesn't come with us. Right? I'm sure you've seen aeroplanes, you've seen houses and fences and everything being burnt. But the fact is, it just went. That's all. It doesn't follow you. Right? It's not a CNG or it's not a petrol or whatever, nothing. It doesn't come with you. So benevolent. Since Krishna consciousness affects the heart of every living entity, the welfare work of a devotee is not restricted to a specific race, species, etc. For the benefit of all living entities. All living entities. Every living entity. All jivatmas. So when we chant, like right now when we are chanting, it is not only for the living entities in the human form. It's other forms also. Right? Could be plants, could be insects, four-legged, six-legged, maybe even more legged. But the thing is, it is for everyone's benefit. So that is benevolent. Peaceful. To be peaceful does not mean to physically maintain idealistic peace, but to experience real peace in one's relationship with Krishna. Only someone who has realized that there is nothing beyond Krishna can achieve real peace and fearlessness. So, if we tell ourselves, Krishna will take care, or if we tell Krishna, please take care, then we should not go back and think, will he take care? That means there is doubt. And for one who has doubt, he has neither happiness in this world nor in the next. Right? There's no faith. So, what's the point? So, the point here is we must be completely, surrendered. The next one also speaks the same. Completely attached to Krishna. Devotion to Krishna is neither sentimental nor whimsical, but authorized and scientific. By practicing devotional service, we can learn to surrender properly. Complete surrender to Krishna is the goal of every devotee, because he wants to become free from material desires in order to serve Krishna more and more. complete surrender to Krishna is the most important of all qualities to be developed. When we have that quality, then the rest just follows suit. Desireless. When one is fully engaged in devotional service, one realizes that all desires are satisfied. Thus, one does not have any material desire anymore. One only desires to serve Guru and Krishna. In fact, this month is Satyavarta Muni's Damodar Astagat being sent and sung. And what he said? He said, "I don't want anything else. I just want to see you crying in front of your mother. That's all he asked for." You see, so he's fully satisfied. Just like Durvasa. And he said, "Why? I actually came looking for some glass and I found the diamond. I found the real jewel. I don't need anything anymore." But he's still up there in Durvalo because the Lord was so merciful. Indifference towards material possessions. Krishna, a devotee may use things in Krishna's service, but he does not become attached to or dependent on them. He may serve Krishna with millions of dollars, printing books, maybe opening temples, but however he also is satisfied. He does not have any material assets, and what we can do is we can just simply sit down and chant Hare Krishna. That is the most valuable asset. Steady and fixed. The realizations of a devotee should be so profound that his dedication to his spiritual master and Krishna cannot be influenced anymore by various temptations, suffering or opposing philosophies. This is very important. Otherwise, you know, the foundation itself will be shaking. Maybe, could be, might be all, no, throw, that's it, finish. But, no more. Guru, Sadhu Shastra Guru, must be very steadfast. Self-control, there are six bad qualities, namely, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. A pure devotee controls these bad qualities by engaging in Krishna's service. These qualities cannot be left behind in an artificial way, but can easily be counteracted with transcendental knowledge and transcendental taste arising from one's devotional service. It is something that it's easily said than done for lots of living entities. It is something easily said than done. Because every now and then you get somebody who get you into some mood. Then you will find yourself, I did not follow this point. Right? So that is why Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness. You have to be conscious of Krishna 24 hours. Kirtane Sadahari. Right? This is something I don't know how to put it to you, but that's not it more than required. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that a yogi does not eat too much or too little. This means practically exactly as much as he can easily digest. According to Ayurveda, one's stomach should be filled half with food, quarter with water, quarter with air. The problem now here is we fill half with food, quarter with soft drinks, and then another quarter with ice cream, and then another quarter with, you know, whatever we think. Whatever that ice is glamorous, it's nice. We just keep on eating and eating and eating. And then after that we think about where to go to reduce the stomach. Say, a devotee is never intoxicated by material enjoyment. He reduces his requirements to a minimum and offers his whole life to Krishna. In this way, he is completely balanced. Respectful. A devotee offers respect to others without expecting anything in return. He respects everyone as part of Krishna and treats them accordingly. Has no material hankering. A devotee is not attracted by material possessions which help us to gain prestigious position. He sees everything attractive in this world as a reflection of Krishna, all attractive cause of all causes. Great. Although we lead a happy life in Krishna consciousness, we are always conscious that the material existence can be finished at any time. It's very important to remember. Right? Otherwise, we get carried away. And that the way back home, back to Godhead, is not cheap. To be great means that the devotee is constantly thinking of Krishna and the ultimate goal of life. A lot of people will say, you know, Krishna will look after. And then they go and do all sorts of things. And then how will Krishna look after? Right? It is putting the onus on the Lord by doing the wrong things. So it is not right. So being great means we have to also be very, very conscious in our mind that at any time, Yamaraj can come knocking on the door. Alright? There was one time I was with a devotee and we were crossing the road. And as we were crossing the road, a cockroach came. And then I personally said, "Hey, a cockroach." Because we didn't want to step over it, you see? And that next second, a car almost swinged into me. And then the devotee was saying, "Maharaj, you are disturbing me." Said, "Maharaj, next life, cockroach." You see, so it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. We don't know. We might be chanting and everything, split second, that's it. So, never ever take things lightly. Very dangerous. Next life, six legs, unimaginable. But the fact is that we have to be great. We have to be really very great. Compassionate. The essence of compassion is the distribution of transcendental knowledge. The basic of it are Prabhupada's books, and the force behind it is our purity. We have to keep ourselves sutta. Friendly. A devotee is friendly because he leads everyone to Krishna, who is the best friend of all living entities. So please don't go and pat everybody's back. "Hey, I'm friendly to you, man." You know, not like that. Right? Because we are actually leading everyone, or the devotee leads everyone to Krishna. Poetic. A devotee is even poetic if he is not literally active, because he is able to connect everything with Krishna's transcendental nature. So whatever you see, when you try to connect them to Krishna, you become a poet. Automatically. Silence means that one only speaks about Krishna and not about material topics. Okay? So when we discuss as much as possible, sometimes as adults we will be sitting and then we will see some children running around. Like the place I work, I see all these things happening, and there will be just one group of schoolboys, then they will be discussing about Transformers. And then you'll be thinking, what a waste of time, energy, and things like that. And the same thing happens at the adult level. And what happens was, they'll be discussing politics. They'll be discussing state of this, state of that, and, you know, share market, and we don't know what. And the next moment we know, you know, probably a building will collapse, or something will happen. So why are these people wasting their time? We'll be thinking like that. So it happens to us also in the same way. So we have to understand. In fact, there is one temple up north towards Kedaranath. And in this place, when prasadam is being served, all the devotees will do is sit and they will start chanting verses. So the first devotee chants verse and takes one mouthful, and the second devotee will chant one verse and he will take one mouthful, and then it goes on throughout the entire feasting period. And no one speaks anything else except chant verses. So just imagine. Of course, try and do that at home. It will be nice, but difficult to implement. Expert. The essence of expertise of a devotee is that he can do anything for Krishna. The best expertise is to surrender to Krishna. That is the best. So, with these qualities, these are 26 of them altogether, and these will develop only and only if the living entity 100% surrenders to Krishna. Otherwise, it's not possible. And on the note of Adi Bhautika, a problem caused by other living entities. Like for example, Maharaj Ambarish was there, very pure devotee, and he was remaining composed throughout the entire trying period of Durvasamani's episode. You can imagine how he was actually being put through. And you know, any one of us, can you imagine the moment we see Durvasa, what's going to happen? It's going to be really scary. But he was composed, because he knows the Lord will look after everything. So when one surrenders unconditionally, all material circumstances will not hold any significance whatsoever. Being situated under the supreme shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is no hankering, no fear, no dejection, and everything will be personally directed by the Lord. All we have to do is sincerely give the reins of the chariot of our mind, just like Arjuna did. And thereof, the Lord will bring us home back to Godhead. It's as easy as that. The whole process of bhakti is to sincerely conduct ourselves in such a way that the Lord will become attracted to the bhakta. See? And that way, we don't do anything artificially manufactured. We just follow the scriptures and keep our mind at the glorious feet of the devotees, Guru and Krishna, and we will be very safe. We don't have to manufacture anything and do anything. And that way, just like when you go to a factory or when you go to some place, what happens is, if you're doing your job very nicely, you will be noticed. Definitely, the boss will ask, who is that worker? He's so nice. He does his work very nicely. Let me talk to him. So similarly, Krishna will recognize. Krishna will recognize. You see, just like Lord Panduranga, the devotee was serving his parents so sweetly and so nicely that he personally came down. And even when he came down, what did the devotee say? I'm busy, you please wait. I'll talk to you later, or something like that. So he actually threw a brick, and the Lord was standing on the brick and waiting for his devotee to come. So it just meant the Lord in waiting. Amazing. So this is what should be actually the correct procedure. So the thing is, it is so simple and yet so complicated. Why and how? The Lord being Dina Bandhu, he simplifies the process of bhakti. It is chant 15 rounds, take prasadam, dance and chant, and you'll come home back to Godhead. He makes it very simple. But then the jiva, being Nitya Bandhu, eternally bonded, what he does is so much of concussion, so much of theory, so much of complication in the process. Could it be like this? Maybe the Lord said this, maybe the Lord said that. No, because we are speculating. The mind speculates. And because there's speculation, this whole process becomes complicated and begins. See, when we talk about Bhagavad Gita in the basics, then Krishna actually tells Arjuna that he is relating the supreme secret to him because he is devotee and friend. Right? Bhakta and Saha. So therefore the Bhagavad Gita is best understood by a person whose quality is similar to Arjuna. So theoretically you have to accept Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. And then from there onwards, automatically your heart becomes humble. Once the heart becomes humble, then Krishna will automatically walk in. See, here over here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, Yasyati Bhakti Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvai Gunais Tatra Samaste Suraha. So here, the word Akinchana means without any motive. There is also a catch. Say, I am surrendered, I am wholly surrendered, but if there is a hidden agenda, then that devotional service is not Sudha Bhakti. There is no point of having such a devotional attitude or surrender. So, here he says, one who has unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:18-12. And in Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you read chapter 8, there is a description of some of the qualities of the devotees. There's one particular devotee, he's known as Sri Pandit Haridas, right? And he's described as being very well behaved, tolerant, peaceful, magnanimous, and grave. In addition, he spoke very sweetly, his endeavors were very pleasing, and he was always patient. He respected everyone, he always worked for everyone's benefit, his mind was free of duplicity, and he was completely devoid of all malicious activities. So, these are actually what? Qualities originating from Krishna. And when one becomes a devotee, they automatically become to manifest all these qualities. And by these statements, it is understood that all qualities which please the Lord automatically will appear by constant performance of bhakti. That's all. Constant. And in that sense, you can see when these qualities actually develop, then you automatically will become dear to Krishna. And all these three verses will apply. He's very dear to me, he's very dear to me, he's very dear to me. And that is the ultimate of this devotional service. Automatically Krishna personally comes. You don't have to go. On the subject of Damodar, or this particular month of Kartik, it's very special because of what Lord Damodar did according to Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9. verses 1 to 2, Sukadev Goswami was explaining, and he said, one day when Mother Yashoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childhood activities of Krishna, and in her own way she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. So this was the beginning of the episode. This was the beginning of his leela. So when she started to do things, then he went to his mom, went to Mother Yashoda, asked for milk, and she was actually feeding him, and halfway she had to go to attend to some other work, and he got angry. So immediately he broke a pot, and then after that he took some yogurt and he went to one corner and he started to eat and also distribute to all the monkeys and so on. And how did Mother Yashoda actually find him? She was looking on the ground, and there was this little feet, all stained with yogurt, the marks, ghee and all that was there. So he was walking with his little feet, and he was staining the floor, and that's how she managed to trace. Mother Yashoda, I think it's defective. So she found him. And then, that's it, because Krishna saw her. And how did he see her? He saw her with a stick in the hand. The moment he saw her with a stick in the hand, what did he do? What did he all do? What did we do? I remember what I did. The speed of the mind is really fast. Suddenly we become bionic. We run like anything. And then we find the biggest item to hide behind. So, but he got down from the top of the motor. That's what he was sitting on. And he got down from the motor and he started to run. He was so afraid. So, although the yogis, they try to capture Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord with great austerities and penances, they fail to reach him. But Mother Yashoda, thinking that the very same personality of God is Krishna to be her son, began following Krishna to catch him. And she managed to catch him and tie him also. So, yogis, mystics, right? They want to actually also catch Krishna, but they cannot. So here, Yashoda managed or is going to be caught. So Krishna is going to be caught by Mother Yashoda. And he is running away in what? In fear. That's another unique thing that he exhibited, which is inconceivable for us. I mean, look. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That personified is afraid of Krishna, and he is afraid of Mother Yashoda. So, in the purport, actually, they wrote it this way. They said that Krishna was even afraid of Mother Yashoda's stick. Not only Mother Yashoda, he was afraid of her stick also. So it's mentioned by Queen Kunti in her prayers. Vaya Bhavanaya Sitasya. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflowed with tears which washed the mascara from your eyes. And you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering me. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.31. Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda, and the yogis are afraid of Krishna. Yogis try to reach Krishna by Jnana Yoga and other yogas, but fail. Yet although Mother Yashoda was a woman, Krishna was afraid of her, as clearly described in these words. It's amazing, isn't it? So that is what Prema Bhakti can actually do. Prema Bhakti, that's what Prema Bhakti actually can do. There was one time the gopis were all sitting around, and baby Krishna was there. And then they were all teasing him, and they wanted to see how intelligent he is, and they wanted to check out his IQ. So what did they do? They asked him, where's your eyes? And then he points. Where's your nose? And then he points. And where's the top of your head? And then he points. And they all clap. Krishna knows where he is. So, this sort of thing can only be manifested with Prema Bhakti, Sudha Bhakti. It cannot be otherwise. It is not awe and reverence. It is not anything else but pure devotional service, but with love. Then you can actually have this sort of pastime and this sort of sweet. Because if you look at, I think I've mentioned previously, if you look at Krishna, when he was leaving, Uddhava was just sitting next to him. But Uddhava understands Krishna as Krishna. And he doesn't care for any theory, shastras, conclusions, nothing. No thesis, nothing. He says, that Krishna is my worshipable Lord. Finish. That's how the gopis are. So that's exactly how he is. So what we have to do is, we have to actually develop that same sense. And we have to daily worship the Lord. It's very important that we do it daily in this mode. And if we are engaged in our daily worship, and then we will get the impression. Like for example, we have a photo or we have deities of Radha and Krishna. We will have that impression in our heart, embedded. When we close our eyes and we say Radha, Madan, Mohan, then automatically they manifest in your mind. And you can see their form. And if you say Rukmani, Dwarakadish, and they appear just like that. So similarly, Radha Gopinath. So immediately you know how they manifest in front of your heart. So if we think of them in our heart, then we automatically become known as the topmost yogi. Simple. Mai arpita mano buddhi yo mat bhaktaha. In this way, one who executes devotional service, sami priyaha, I divided them. Right? He is very dear to me. So if we want to see Krishna, or we want to be seen by Krishna, then just follow this instruction. Simple as that. And our life will become successful. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Any questions or clarifications? Devotees, senior devotees are right back. See, the process of bhakti is very clearly given. In fact, there was one article sent to me by one Prabhupada disciple this morning. And he was mentioning that all you need is only one book, Bhagavad Gita, to go home back to God. And you don't have to read anything else whatsoever. So it's really very, very topmost. So if there are no questions, then Prabhuji, you know what's up? We will do that.
Elaborate on why they do to the mode of puja, just for 5 hours.
Okay.
Be good way for them to understand.
Right.
Yeah. So many people are there.
Okay. Now for this month, for Damodar Puja, why are we offering these lamps? What is the significance? In Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami, there are many instances it's stated that this month is Kartik. Now Kartik month has been specially dedicated to Srimati Radharani. And in this month, it is stated in the scripture that one should worship Radharani together with Lord Damodar. And Lord Damodar can be worshipped by offering a lamp. Now what is the significance of this lamp? See, when we offer this special lamp, or this lamp of devotion, to Lord Damodar, then what Lord Damodar does is, we have Janma Janmandra, that means we have many, many millions of births previously, and so much of karma, and so much of power. So what he does is, by the time we close our eyes, halfway through our eyelid closes halfway through, he burns everything up. Just the moment you offer the lamp. So this month, I was saying the same thing, I hope. They're not bought. But this month is a discounted month for devotional service. It is like Robinson's sale, alright, or John Little's sale. So Krishna actually has given this special month for us to offer the lamb and do different types of pradas. Like in this month, you don't take urad dal, alright, and some will also not take any high protein stuff like soybean. All this is, you know, avoided. And some people, they won't shave, and they will observe some austerity. So in this sense, if this month, if you follow, then it is many fold times taken that you have. Just like, for example, if one offers one lamp, which has been lighted by a tulasi tree, a tulasi branch, and if you light it and then you offer it, it is equivalent to offering 1,000 lamps. So like that, the significance is there. So as devotees, we are actually hankering for devotional service, and we are actually hankering for the mercy of the Lord. And this month, mercy is coming through this month. So in that sense, we have to take full advantage, because we are like a drowning man. What? Even a straw we might pull, right? To save ourselves from drowning in this material ocean. So, the Lord has made this arrangement so mercifully that when we do this puja and offer land to Him and ask Him, please Krishna, please somehow or other make me remember you throughout my birth and throughout my next few births or next few million births, because we don't know how disqualified we are. So we ask Him this, and definitely there will be a significant advancement in our spiritual life. So that is one of the most important things why we do this Damodar Puja. You see, I was talking to you about Krishna coming to you. You see, at one time, when Sanatana Goswami was actually living in Mahavan, and he was at the birthplace of Krishna. So, when you were walking through the bank of Yamuna to the another place, one of the boys ran to him, small boy, very cute looking boy, and he said, "I want to go with you also. You please take me." And immediately, of course, being very fatherly, he said, "Lala, you cannot. Why do you want to come with me? No, no, you should stay here. And if you, even if you follow me, what will you eat? You cannot eat anything. I am a very austere person. Sometimes I eat, sometimes I don't even do, you know, eat anything like that." Then he said, "Baba, I will eat whatever you eat. You please follow, you know, somehow or other bring me." The boy said, "Then, but I eat only dry chapatis now, and I only eat chickpeas. Can you eat that?" "No, right? So, why don't you go home? Please, you go home and stay with your parents." And then he walked away. So when he walked away, the boy felt a bit difficult, no? And then he walked away slowly. But then, in the dream, that night, he saw the same boy again. And then smiling, again he said, "Baba, tomorrow I'm coming to stay with you." So you see, how one has to act, one has to become in such a way that Krishna actually says, "I want to come and live with you." Not only that, there was one time when Rupa Goswami decided that he wants to cook something nice and offer to his brother. And at that time, this Mataji, she came and she said, "I brought for you some sabjis, you please take." And then he took everything and he cooked. And then he called his brother. And when he came, Sanatana Goswami, when he came and he started, he said, "You are a sannyasi or a babaji? How did you get all these things?" And immediately he said, "There's one cowherd girl, no? She came and she gave." And the moment he tasted the sweet rice, he said, "This sweet rice is not from this world." Then immediately he realized, and tears glided down his cheeks, and he said, "How can you have taken service of Radharani? You see, next time don't have this desire." She personally came and served. So you can see, in that sense, that when one develops his bhakti, and when one actually has 101% surrender, all qualities will develop, and on top of that, Radha and Krishna will personally come. Jai. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sai Go Premanandi.
Jai Jai Sudarshan Prabhu ki.
It was open till midnight today.
Oh, yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Mataji. It's very soft, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Mataji. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. We were just informed today that the temple is going to be open till midnight. So, the committee was telling us, don't run.